This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is David Widmar. David is an economist and co-founder of Agricultural Economic Insights online at aei.ag. That's aei.ag. We'll dig into some of the biggest questions being asked right now. We'll do that in a moment. First, let's dig into E15 summer sales. President Biden in Iowa.
Well, with this waiver, on June 1, you're not going to show up at your local gas station and see a bag over the pump that has the cheapest gas. You're going to be able to keep filling up with E15. But it's not going to solve all our problems, but it's going to help some people. And I'm committed to whatever I can to help.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by David Widmar. David is a co-founder of Agricultural Economic Insights. We call it just AEI, and you'll find David online at aei.ag. That's aei.ag. And David is... We're back. This isn't our first conversation during the year, but it's our first really since Commodity Classic. And so much has really changed since we last saw each other 45 days ago, including a war, right?
Another supply shock has hit the global markets, and this time it's in kind of two forms here, right? There's the first one that's associated with the conflict itself, the war in Ukraine, and the impacts on global markets coming out of there, but also all the sanctions. And the sanctions could be a bigger issue, especially in the long term, as we start thinking about how far and wide the implications of sanctions go.
Well, and it works into something else that's going on there with AEI, and that's this forecast yield challenge. And I throw that in kind of as a segue, if you will, because when we start looking at Ukraine, they're a top five exporter of corn, right?
They are a very big source of corn exports. Russia is a big source of wheat exports. And in both countries, I had a professor once who says, you got to slice the apple in a lot of different ways to really understand what's going on the inside. And if you look at Ukraine and Russia as a share of global production, they're pretty small. But both of those countries export a majority of their corn and wheat production. In Ukraine, it's about 80% of their corn goes for exports. And so this means they're about, 16 to 20% of globally traded corn. And so markets are having a hard time wrapping their minds around what are going to be the implications of this as they move forward.
Well, and tell us about this forecast yield challenge. What is it? How does it work?
Well, at AEI, we're always trying to help decision makers in agriculture think about uncertainty. And we do this in two ways, the content, like the conversation we're having today, but also the Ag Forecast Network decision tool, which a lot of times in agriculture, but in life in general, we don't have a lot of tools to talk about uncertainty, to frame uncertainty with. We're tempted to ask questions like, do you think corn prices will go higher? Well, that's a vague question, and we usually give ambiguous responses to it. And so we can never really learn. We always can be right, or we can always prove that the other person was wrong because of vagaries and ambiguity. So the Forecast Network frames it up such as, what's the probability of the U.S. corn crop coming in above 181 bushels per acre per the November WASDE report? That's a very specific question. It's going to cause you to pause and think and challenge your assumptions a little bit and maybe do a little research. And that's the point, because whenever you put in a good forecast and we answer that probabilistically like the weather forecast, you can log that within the Ag Forecast Network and you can benchmark yourself against others and you can get a score at the end. And the score is a lot of fun. It's a good contest, a good competition. And so this year we've outlined 16 questions that are going to run from May, go run through the middle of April through November, the May WASDE report through the November WASDE report we're going to be following for the USDA's estimates of corn and soybean yields. So if you're following the USDA projections for corn and soybeans, do you have an opinion about what might be in store with respect to the weather or the drought conditions or trade or all these other issues, invite you to join the Forecast Network and participate in these 16 questions.
Well, and for those who don't know what AEI is and what you do, let's kind of back into this one to help people understand.
8 years ago, my business partner and I, we were both at Purdue University, and we recognized there's an opportunity to provide data-driven insights. And there's a lot of breaking news out there, and there's a lot of good research that takes years to put out. But how can we put together ideas that were substantive but also timely? And so we started writing a free weekly blog post. You can still subscribe at our website, aei.ag, to get a weekly update of that. But we also continue to meet with farm groups, work with agribusinesses, and, of course, the AEI premium subscription are all ways to help decision makers dig into the data just a little bit more, dig into the trends, or dig into the analysis a little more than what they might find on social media, but then providing them with some critical ideas so they can be a little more confident when they go to make decisions. Because we all have to make decisions. We all have to deal with uncertainty. We just can't throw our hands up in the air and say, it's uncertain, I don't know what to do. We still have to market our crops and our livestock and make the business decisions. And we work with those groups to do that.
Well, and making those decisions this year, we have some challenges we haven't seen really in the past. And I heard somebody say the black swan events are becoming a kind of a regular occurrence now. It's as if the pond is full of black swans now. And whether we're talking about input prices or we're talking about west of the Mississippi, things being very dry, or east of the Mississippi being very wet, there's a lot of challenges to growing a crop here in 2022.
Well, I'll avoid getting on my soapbox about counting black swans and how when we do that, we're only fooling ourselves. But we can revisit that if you want to talk about that in more detail. But what I think is really important to recognize is there are some periods in history that have a lot of uncertainty, and we are in one of those periods. And if you think about the implications of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and all the sanctions, it is, in all honesty, probably too early for farmers listening or agribusiness professionals listening to say, I'm going to change my projections for 2022 in the following ways. Commodity prices are higher, but are they high? Have they changed enough for you to go back and update your budget since January 1st? Maybe a little bit. But what we do know with confidence is we are less confident. There is more uncertainty. So if we have to step back and say, here's my budget assessment for corn prices. What's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? In most cases, we have to have a wider range of possible outcomes to deal with. And that's what makes producers, that's what makes it challenging for producers. That's what makes it stressful, is in a lot of cases, we are less certain today about 2020's outlook than we were 3 months ago. And you'd usually think, and in most years, we actually know more. We gain confidence throughout the growing season. And we've been going backwards here in 2022. And I think that's what's really capturing all this. And so producers are going to need to think very carefully about risk management plans, contingency plans, and just sort of make sure that we are building in measures that allow us to capture all the known knowns, but also some of the unknown unknowns that could come our way throughout the year.
I'm going to wrap this up as we kind of started the thing, and that was the fact you and I had a chance to spend a little bit of time together at Commodity Classic back in early March. And at that Commodity Classic, you were part of one of the sessions there, I believe with three or four others up on a panel. And unfortunately, those panels are only about 50 minutes long, an hour long or so. But what was your takeaway from that panel discussion and some of the input that you picked up from producers?
So the conversation was around knowing our costs, knowing our costs of production, and knowing that the interplay between agronomics and economics. So there's a saying that we need to be the low-cost producer. And if we don't use that heuristic or that rule of thumb carefully, it might lead us to conclusions such as, oh, I want to skip back on this herbicide treatment, or I'm going to skip on this fungicide treatment, or I'm going to cut back my seeding rate so I have a lower cost per acre. And what we might be doing is we might be shooting ourselves in the proverbial foot, and we might be impacting yields adversely. And so if we really want to understand what it means to be a low-cost producer, we need to understand, you know, what's my cost per unit of output, cost per bushel, cost per head in livestock, cost per pound in livestock, maybe cost per pound in for cotton and other specialty crops. And the idea here is we need to be, you know, we need to up our management game very carefully, especially in times of uncertainty and times of rapidly changing prices. We need to make sure we go into our decision-making process kind of with our minds wide open, and we need to be thinking about the implications for our decisions much beyond just the budget. So, you know, one of the things I shared was test before you invest. And so we really need to understand, if I'm going to make a change in my production system, what are the cost implications, but what are also the production implications? And does that make sense for me to do at a larger scale on my operation?
Well, if we want to keep up with some of the questions that you pose and what others are thinking, and just the overall, if you will, pulse of what's happening in ag, obviously we can do that online. How do we find it again?
AEI.ag. And then once you get there's a couple things. There's the free weekly email. There's the archive of blog posts. There's the free podcast seasons. And then, of course, there's AEI Premium, which is designed for those ag decision makers who want to invest in their thinking and they want to, you know, really challenge themselves and look for ideas and content that we're just not seeing other places.
And again, you can find it at AEI.ag. David Widmar is a co-founder of AEI.ag and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, David Widmar with Agricultural Economic Insights.
The Manitou New Ag MLT telehandlers have been tailor-made to handle the rigors of farm life. From the Agile 600 series to the Hefty 900 series, they are all named one of the most comfortable machines on the market, complete with interchangeable attachments, complete cab access, and total visibility. Manitou is the smart choice for your farm. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with David Widmar online. It's AEI.ag.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Food prices continue to rise. The latest consumer price index showing all food prices increased 1% in March. This after 1% hikes in both January and February. USDA economist Matt McLaughlin says consumers last month were paying almost 9% more for food than they did March a year ago. This driven by higher cost for what it takes to produce food. For example, the price of energy
has increased somewhere in the order of 30% year over year and is 20% higher than from a month ago. This is going to affect the entire food industry.
Labor costs are up also, and also the prices for basic raw farm commodities like wheat.
This could be in part attributed to the conflict in Ukraine,
which is a big wheat-producing country. But Matt says there's usually a delay from when prices for raw commodities rise and when that shows up at retail. And so
I don't think that we've seen the full effect of that conflict on prices yet.
We may be in for more price hikes to come. Gary Crawford, Washington.